Radio Prague News.
A Prague district court has found the de facto head of the Public Affairs Party, Vít Bárta, guilty of bribery. In related news, the politician confirmed he will give up his post as head of the party's deputies club and hand in his membership. And the top leadership of the party has been meeting to assess the situation in the wake of developments. A Prague district court found de facto head of the Public Affairs Party, Vít Bárta, guilty of bribery, handing him an 18-month suspended sentence on Friday. Fellow MP and former Public Affairs member Jaroslav Škárka was found guilty of fraud and received a sentence of 3 years in prison, as well as a 10-year ban as an MP. The court ruled Jaroslav Škárka had intentionally accepted a loan of 170,000 crowns from Mr. Bárta in order to try and discredit him. A day earlier, Vít Bárta, who was accused of giving fellow party members hefty bribes in the form of interest-free loans in order to increase his influence, said he would leave high politics if convicted. Friday's court ruling can still be appealed. In related news, fellow politicians, including the Prime Minister, made clear that both Mr. Bárta and Jaroslav Škárka should give up their mandates in the Chamber of Deputies. Following Friday's ruling, the de facto head of public affairs confirmed he would resign as head of the party's deputies club and would give up his party membership. He remained silent, however, on giving up his post as an MP. Whether Mr. Škárka will give up his post in the Chamber of Deputies also remains to be seen. The defendant told reporters after the ruling that he would appeal, so no decision is expected yet. The head of the lower house, Miroslava Němcová, meanwhile confirmed on Friday she was planning to put forward proposed changes which would broaden the criteria for the dissolution of parliamentary mandates. The top leadership of the Public Affairs Party met in the wake of Friday's court ruling, with some in the party acknowledging Mr. Bárta's decision to leave the party as correct, but others saying he should also give up his mandate in the lower house, news website IDNES said. Others, such as past Deputy Chairman Tomáš Jarolím, expressed the hope Mr. Bárta would stay on as an MP. And Mr. Jarolím criticized the court decision. Until now, Bárta was considered the de facto head of the Public Affairs Party. Questions remain about its direction, not least after Prague branch leaders last week called on Chairman Radek Jón to resign. In other news now, the Prague Writers' Festival 2012 kicks off in the Czech capital on Saturday. Among the guests of the 22nd edition of the International Literature Festival are the British screenwriter and novelist Hanif Kureishi, American poet Jerome Rothenberg, and Turkish writer and psychologist Gündüz Vassaf. The festival's opening gala, where the Spiros Vergos Prize for Freedom of Expression will be awarded, takes place on Sunday. On the program are film screenings, discussion panels, literary readings, as well as jazz and poetry performances. The festival runs for 5 days, that is through April 18th. Finally, a quick look at the weather. The coming days are expected to bring overcast and rainy conditions. Daytime highs should range between 10 and 14 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, a verdict in one of the most high-profile cases this country has seen in recent years was spoken on Friday. We have all the latest business news, and then later in the program we hear about a Prague production of Eve Ensler's famous Vagina Monologues.
These monologues that Eve Ensler compiled were based on interviews she had with real women. So none of this is fictionalized.
All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. A Prague court on Friday delivered a verdict in one of the most high-profile cases in recent years. The court found the unofficial leader of the Coalition Public Affairs Party guilty of bribery and fellow MP and former public affairs chair of fraud. The case also highlighted the shady practices within the Public Affairs Party, which has been behind a series of government crises. Jan Richter has the details.
Obžalovaný doktor Barta poté, co dne 4.2.2011 na jednání poslaneckého klubu politické strany Věci veřejné.
Justice Jan Schott reading a breakthrough verdict which found MP and public affairs de facto leader Vít Bárta guilty of bribery and fellow MP and former public affairs chair Jaroslav Škárka of fraud. Vít Bárta, the former transport minister and the current head of the coalition Public Affairs Party's deputy club, was sentenced to 18 months in jail, with a probation period of 30 months. According to the court, Mr. Bárta last year provided interest-free loans to fellow MPs Jaroslav Škárka and Kristýna Kocsi, who have since left the party. He did so to make sure the deputies would not voice their complaints about a cut in their salaries, which would have shown the party in a bad light. Interestingly, Justice Schott said that the court accepted Mr. Barta's line of defense and rejected claims by the prosecution that he was deliberately trying to bribe the deputies. However, the judge argued that regardless of his motive, Mr. Barta's actions did constitute bribery. In light of Mr. Barta's clean record, the court opted for a suspended sentence. One of the reasons for delivering a sentence at the lower end of the scale, the court said, was the fact that Vít Bárta was framed by the two MPs, Jaroslav Škárka and Kristýna Kocsi, who had by that time become his rivals within the party. That's also why the other defendant in the case, MP Jaroslav Škárka, was sentenced to 3 years in prison. The courtroom, packed with reporters and TV crews, listened for over an hour as Justice Schott delivered overwhelming evidence showing that Mr. Škárka set up Vít Bárta and produced counterfeit evidence to the court to implicate him.
It was proven beyond a doubt that Jaroslav Škárka, acting under the false pretense of asking for a loan, conned Vít Bárta of 170,000 crowns with the true intention of using the transaction to discredit him.
The verdict bans Jaroslav Škárka from holding a seat in the lower house of parliament for the period of 10 years, although most experts claim the court has no right to do so under the Czech constitution. Judge Schott also suggested the police investigate MP Kristýna Kocsi's role in the plot. Both MPs appealed the verdict on the spot and the case will be heard at the Court of Appeals. Immediately after the ruling was delivered, Vít Bárta announced he was stepping down as the head of his party's deputies club in the lower house and would put his party membership on hold. According to media reports, both Vít Bárta and Jaroslav Škárka said they would not give up their seats in the lower house. Reacting to the verdict, President Václav Klaus said in a statement he was saddened by the practices that have taken root in Czech politics. For his part, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said he expected both convicted officials to quit politics, adding that the verdict did not threaten the coalition government. However, the case is likely to have serious political implications. It puts the coalition Public Affairs Party under pressure to reform, which might lead to a split within the group. Public affairs voter support has already plummeted, and it is now difficult to foresee how the party will react to the situation.
That report was brought to you by Jan Richter. Thanks for that, Jan. And of course, if you have any opinion on this verdict and on the controversial Public Affairs Party, don't hesitate to share it either via email to english@radio.cz or on our Facebook wall, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague. And now I am joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarová, who brings this week's business news.
The government this week approved a package of far-reaching austerity measures intended to bring the gap in public finances to below 3% of GDP in 2013 and down to 1.9% in 2014. The measures combine tax hikes and cuts in public spending that will affect all strata of society. Both VAT rates are to rise by 1% in 2013 to 15% and 21% respectively. The hike is expected expected to raise inflation by 0.7%. Higher taxes are to be levied on cigarettes, energy and earnings in tax havens. Individual income tax will rise from 15 to 20%. For a period of 3 years, those with monthly salaries over 100,000 crowns will pay an additional 7% solidarity tax on the exceeding amount made. The state will pay lower social benefits, there will be fewer tax reliefs for entrepreneurs, and pensions will grow at a significantly slower pace than formerly envisaged. Although the move is expected to affect each and every household in the country, analysts agree that pensioners will be the hardest hit.
According to a macroeconomic forecast published this week, the Czech Finance Ministry still expects a 0.2% growth of the economy this year, but has lowered its estimate for 2013 from a previous 1.6% to 1.3%. The revised growth prediction is linked to the announced austerity measures and low consumer confidence in the economy. The ministry expects inflation at 3.3% this year and 2.3% in 2013. It predicts a slower growth of the average nominal wage in the upcoming period, citing a nominal wage growth of 2% this year. In view of projected inflation, this would mean a 1.3% fall in real wages. Given the higher growth forecast for 2013, the ministry expects a pay rise of 2.6% in nominal terms, which would amount to a real wage increase of 0.3%.
Unemployment in the Czech Republic fell by 0.3% to 8.9% in March after 4 months of steady increases. Analysts ascribe the drop to early seasonal work allowed by the good weather, but say the situation on the labour market overall remains poor and agree that no significant improvement can be expected in the immediate future due to expected layoffs in the public sector. The number of vacancies is reported to be around 39,000, meaning there are on average 13 jobless people per vacancy.
Škoda Auto, the Czech unit of the German car giant Volkswagen, has set another all-time high in March, posting a 12.1% jump in global sales to a record 95,200 units. The surge was driven mainly by sales in China and India, where Škoda registered a 65% growth in sales figures. Despite intense competition in Western Europe, the company increased sales marginally by 1%, selling almost 41,500 cars. In March, Škoda's most popular models in Western Europe were the Fabia and the Octavia, while the Yeti and the Roomster achieved the highest growth rates, posting 10.3% and 4.7% respectively. The Superb also performed strongly, rising by 3.3%.
And finally, the Czech Trade and Industry Ministry has dismissed fears of a shortage of crude oil, following reports early this week that Russia's Transneft would ship only 80,000 tons of oil to the Czech Republic this month, rather than the 409,000 tons originally scheduled. A Transneft spokesman said the shortfall was caused by technical problems after Russian oil companies failed to submit new requests for deliveries to Czech customers. 2 days later, the company said it was ready to deliver 230,000 tons of oil to the Czech Republic in April, still just over half of the required amount. While the Czech Industry Ministry said the situation was not critical, since the country had reserves of oil and oil products for more than 90 days, the news has given rise to speculation that the shortfall could be a ploy to raise the price of Russian crude oil for the whole region. A dramatic drop in deliveries from Russia via the Druzhba pipeline would force the Czech Republic to increase the purchase of more expensive oil from Mediterranean ports via the IKL pipeline.
And I'm afraid that was all the business news we have time for. Thanks for that, Daniela. Now, moving on to the arts, this Saturday we'll see two bilingual performances in Prague of Eve Ensler's The Vagina Monologues, a play that has empowered women worldwide, tackling not only issues of sexuality, but also rape and abuse. The monologues, unlike almost any other work, has inspired an entire activist movement. Ahead of the Prague performance, Jan Wellinger talked to co-producer Gail Whitmore, asking first what she thought was key to the work's broad impact and success.
I can't speak for everyone, but in my opinion, it would be that these monologues that Eve Ensler compiled were based on interviews she had with real women. So none of this is fictionalized. These are all very personal stories by real women, and they're so different in the play. Some of them are eccentric and hilarious and vulgar, and some of them are extremely sexually graphic about self-exploration and exploration of sexuality, and some of them are simply beyond horrific. All of them are real, so I think it's because they're so relatable to women worldwide that that's why it's become so popular, because as Eve had said in an interview once, she asked women about their vaginas, but women realized no one had ever asked them that before. And I think that's a question. We all have them, but it's something we don't talk about. So when given the opportunity, we have a lot to say.
There's a quote from when it first came out from the New York Times, the critic who rated it, he called it one of the most important pieces of political theater in the decade. Whether that's true or not is debatable, I suppose, but if nothing else, the play has helped people, as you say, talk about areas of sexuality that are often stigmatized and also horrific acts like rape. Do you think that it's worked in that degree?
Unequivocally. I mean, aside from the fact that the play has managed to create a movement that has raised more than $85 million worldwide, aside from that, it's gotten so many groups of women to come forward and either speak about their own abuse or to celebrate their own bodies, celebrate their own sexuality. And even in the last few weeks while preparing V-Day, I've been looking at the main V-Day Facebook page, and they've been updating with photographs from V-Day performances going on all over the world. And it's absolutely incredible to see these pictures, because it's not just like, you know, two women standing together being like, we did this play. It's these women, you see like 30, 40 women, and they're dressed up and everybody's got a new concept and they've got original ideas, and they're all there to celebrate. They're all there to absolutely celebrate and use their voices.
And there have been many different kinds of productions. The original production by Eve Ensler was one where all the monologues were read by her.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's more common that the different monologues are read by different women, different actresses. Mm-hmm. And I read there's even been a transgender version, which was put together, I think, in association with Jane Fonda, mm-hmm. with trans women reading. How is the Prague production different, or what are some of the specifics of your production?
Well, what's exciting about our production, if I may say so, I'm excited because we're doing this in a really international community, which I think Prague definitely is. And we have women readers who are, I'm thinking, we have Czech, Slovak, Russian, Ukrainian, Romanian, American, Australian, English. So many different people from so many different backgrounds and so many different ages coming together. I think our youngest might be 20 and our oldest is about 60. So I think that's extraordinary, all coming together to do this. And our production's also being enhanced with photographs, because it was so important to me that we do this bilingually. This, and it's never been done in the Czech Republic before, and it needs to be made available for everybody living here. So what our director Lindsay Taylor did was she got female photographers and she gave each one a monologue, and the photographer would take pictures of what she really felt a connection with that represented and best reflected that the content of that monologue. And so if a woman is going to be reading in English, the photograph will be behind her with subtitles in Czech and vice versa. So everyone will be able to read it. And I'm also really excited because our volunteers did our very own translation. So there are translations available. of this play, but it's traditionally translated as Monologi Vagini. And we had a discussion about that. We don't actually agree with what that would mean. I mean, that would be a more detailed Czech language conversation, but we argued between that and Monologi o Vaginach and decided that Monologi Vagin really, truly represents the essence of what this play is. So we have the photographs, which is new, the subtitles, which is new, a completely international group of participants, which is new, and our very own translation.
It sounds like a lot of people, though, involved.
It does. You know, we got over 70 volunteers. Absolutely stunned. Absolutely stunned. Because when it started 2 years ago, it was me. And it was me and, you know, my few friends that I was like, come on, and really roped into it. And when I joined up with Prague Film and Theatre Center, which we can get into, they've just done a tremendous amount of work and got so much word out that we were able to get more volunteers.
The photographers, you say, who created the images for the different language versions of the bilingual aspect of it, they're not the actresses, though, who read the parts.
Nope. Everyone was paired with a photographer. So to me, it was really interesting who decided to volunteer in which capacity. And I never asked anybody because I felt that that's really their private business, why they chose to participate, because a lot of women choose to participate to exercise their own demons or to help them get through things. Others just because they find it really interesting. Some because it seems artistic or they've heard of it before. So I didn't ask, but I am curious.
The actresses who are reading the monologues, are they professional? Are they amateur actors?
I think all of the above. Some of them are professional actors, and I think those were the ones that a lot of them came in through Prague Film and Theatre Center, and some of them are not at all. One thing I think that's really exciting about V-Day is you don't have to be anything. You don't have to be a professional actor. You don't have to be a professional activist. You don't have to be a professional anything. You have to be someone who cares. That's the criteria, actually, to participate in V-Day. It's not to be on stage and to, you know, hone your artistic craft, but rather because you care about this cause. So we're more interested in someone reading a monologue from their heart that they really, really care about, rather than somebody who might be, you know, just a phenomenal actress and can do it.
Thespian.
Exactly. And truth be told, somebody who may not be professional but can read it from their heart, they're going to be able to convey just so much.
Is there any point for you in the play that you think that audiences who aren't familiar with it should in particular look out for? I know that's a difficult question because everybody likes a different aspect of it.
Yeah, it's hard. I think some people really appreciate the humorous aspect because there are some that are just so funny. They make you laugh so hard because they are they use so many different words for vagina, and so you can just imagine where that goes, and they take it there. So, and in Czech, yeah, we took it there. So people are really gonna laugh at that. And some people are just, they laugh because they're embarrassed at some of the things that they're hearing. And some people associate more with the really serious side of it, the people who are listening to the monologues about femicide, who are listening to monologues of systematic rape used as a weapon of war. But there's also a time at the end where we speak, which is if I can just address like how I got into it. Eve often asks at the end of performances if anybody is a survivor of sexual violence to stand and be acknowledged, you know, be honored for surviving that. I think it's incredibly important to eliminate that word victim. Some people are victims. If you end up being killed, yeah, but I know in my life, I don't feel like a victim. I'm still here. I feel I won that battle, you know, and it was a battle. So if you've been survived, to stand and acknowledge that. And so that's a really integral part of the V-Day experience at the end and a completely unobligatory part. But I mean, that's my favorite part. It's really because we've then presented what it is that we had to say. And now we want to hear what everyone else has to say by their actions, by their movements.
One of the kind of slogans that goes with this play is that the V doesn't just stand for vagina. It also stands for Valentine's. Mm-hmm. And what's the other one?
Victory.
Victory. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stand for violence, but violence is there beneath. And
yeah,
you mentioned a personal experience. So you had a situation like that in your own past that brought you to this project?
Situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, so often it's not just one time with women. It's unfortunately something that happens again and again, and women can almost become resigned to it as this is just what's going to happen. And I think one of the points of V-Day is to say, okay, we've absolutely had enough with that. It is not something that's just going to happen. We don't have to take it. We don't have to be quiet about it. We don't have to spend our lives being worried about our daughters, but instead, you know, raise our boys to be good men, you know, talk about it. It's also really important to stress that V-Day and the Vagina Monologues is not like a big, you know, anti-men kind of feminazi project by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we love our men, we need our men, and we really can't do this without the support of our men. And we had so many male volunteers, which is outstanding. The head of the head translator that we had is the co-founder of Slutwalk Praha, which I thought was amazing. So, you know, holla to male feminists. So much of when I discuss the work and the movement with people say, you know, oh, the world's never going to change. This is how it's always been. Okay, yeah, it has been going on. I don't know if it's going to end in my lifetime. But you know what? Things have changed. I mean, female genital mutilation has decreased a lot in many of the African countries because of V-Day, because of them opening safe houses. People are speaking up. People are defending their children. They're teaching their children awareness. They're teaching their boys a little bit more about boundaries, about what's acceptable and not. What's the difference between flirting with someone and harassing somebody? There's a fine line, but there's a line, and this stuff can be taught. You learn that through action and through education.
I was looking at the V-Day main page. There's that V in Prague as well, and many other places around the world. It's good to look at to assess just how much is really going on. We're talking about two performances this Saturday, but is that the end of it, or will there be more?
In V season, we're only allowed to do maximum of three, and we wanted to ensure the most publicity we could for this, so we decided on the two. So this year, it's just going to be this two, so I'll have to wait till next year to see what we come up with, but for this year, it's just going to be tomorrow.
I want to talk about one final aspect, and that is about the beneficiary of the event.
Yes.
It's ROSA, which is a nonprofit association that helps women in trouble, runs a shelter for battered women, and they've been in operation for a long time. What kind of information do you have from them as an NGO about the situation regarding violence against women in the Czech Republic?
Well, I can't say exactly what, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of ROSA, but what I can tell you about violence in the Czech Republic is it's absolutely here, and these are the things when people aren't talking, and it happens in there's a lot of things that happen in small towns. I'm hearing a lot about small town violence where people don't know what to do. That's why I think organizations like ROSA are incredible, because they also have a safe house, which is something a lot of places don't have. And that means it's just a place that the shelter can get you to with an undisclosed location so the women can be safe. Also, they can be kept with their children. I know a lot of organizations are prepared to help women, but don't have the facilities to also assist their children. So therefore, the women are going to stay with the perpetrators. We have a number of sponsors and donors who donate their services, and then people can contribute. They can just go to the website, which is fundomat.com/vday. They can see all the different rewards that are available, and they can donate, and then they get a reward, and ROSA will get the money. And it's just really cool, because if you see something and you say, okay, I want to donate 100 crowns, you can still get something in return, and ROSA will get that. But if you say, you know, I'm in the position to donate 3,000 crowns, there's a reward of that value that you'll also be able to get. So I would really encourage people to check that out, because if you can't make it to any of the performances tomorrow, that's an excellent way to contribute, and that will be open until the end of the month.
Gail Whitmore was speaking to Jan Wellinger about the Vagina Monologues, which she co-produces for this edition of The Arts. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our program, but of course everything you've heard today and all our other programs are available online at our internet address, radio.cz. And if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can either contact us on Facebook, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague, or you can email us to english@radio.cz, or write us a letter or a postcard to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And we also have a Twitter account, so make sure to check that out. As always, everything you've heard on the show today can be found in our archive, and we also have a free news email available there, and you can use news or podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.